part of the state of Wisconsin is now in session. Your silence is commanded.
Please be seated. We are delighted to welcome you all to the courthouse. We're going to have to readapt to our room with a high bench and lots of room, having sat in Fond du Lac yesterday.
Well, no,
had a good time. And no crowd, as John Wilcox reminds me. We have four petitions to hear, and we will take them in the order I have them here. 05-04, In Re Translation of Court Forms. The presenter is Carmel Capati, Court Interpretation Program Manager, and the other appearances will be the Honorable John Murphy, Reserve Judge. We're glad to see you, sir. Carmel Capati.
Thank you. The Director of State Courts is undergoing a translation of court forms project. The project was initiated for three main reasons. Demand, the changing demographics of this state has resulted in an increase of foreign-born court users using our legal system. The second main reason is to be in compliance with federal law. Guidance issued by the U.S. Department of Justice regarding Executive Order 13166 stated that the requirements of the court extend to providing translation of vital court documents as a means to provide meaningful access to limited English-speaking individuals. And the third main reason is for statewide consistency. Several counties have gone forward with their own translation of court forms, resulting in inadequate quality of translation. The Director of State Courts Office sought to provide consistency and professional translation of such court forms. The purpose of the rule regarding translation of court forms is to provide guidance over the process and for the proper use of such forms. Perhaps most importantly, this rule seeks to prevent situations where a non-English-speaking defendant is handed a translated plea questionnaire to be read without any explanation or interpretation. The translation committee, which was comprised of members of the interpreter committee and records management, felt strongly that an additional notice in both languages should be prominently placed on the top of each translated form, stating that a translated form does not replace the need for an interpreter, any colloquies mandated by law, or the responsibility of court and counsel to ensure that persons with limited English proficiency fully comprehend their rights and obligations. A translated form would be used as any other court form, whereby an attorney would review the document with the client to make sure he understands the contents, and the interpreter would interpret any conversation between attorney and client and any colloquy between judge and defendant. While translated forms benefit the defendant, giving her the opportunity to read and follow along with the attorney, or while the judge conducts a colloquy, these forms also benefit the interpreter, who is not then forced to sight-translate any specific document. A federal grant has allocated funding to undertake this translation project. It's anticipated that maintenance of translated forms in the future would be minimal, and the interpreter program would be notified if forms already translated would undergo changes. We respectfully request the court to clear the rule governing the translated forms and their proper use as set out in the petition before the court.
Are there any questions? Go ahead.
The initial forms, as I recall reading this earlier, were in Spanish. Is that the focus of your... What about the Hmong language or the Somali language for the Somalis?
We're looking at the possibility of translating forms into languages other than Spanish. Right now we focused on Spanish. We will be looking at the possibility of Hmong. The concern with the Hmong community is that really they'd be primarily for the interpreters, as many Hmong who use the court aren't able to read. And translating it into a written, it is an oral language, and translating into written language we have to explore the overall benefits of undergoing that project. In terms of Somali, we haven't looked at that language. The third language that is probably of most use in the courts is Russian. Our Somali population is not quite as high as our Russian population, according to what we've received.
There's what widespread it may be in certain areas.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What about French?
I don't believe there is a big demand for French. Every now and then, we do get African from a French-speaking African country in the courts, and we bring somebody over, usually from Milwaukee.
We found out that there's a local Madison employer who has a particular division in the employment sector of that company that is populated by French African-speaking people. The employer has an interpreter on the staff so that the employees can communicate with the supervisor and the supervisor with the employees. And this employer has classes for employees, English as a second language, right here in Madison, which was a surprise to us. But I had not heard that French was a predominant need in the court system.
Well, it seems that every week we get a request from someone in some other part of the state asking either, just yesterday I got a request trying to locate a Farsi interpreter for the courts, and 2 weeks ago a plant in Cudahy was looking for an Albanian interpreter. So the number of different languages that are needed in the courts is growing, and growing very diverse.
Well, I read the English-Spanish one and thought that was very interesting. And
did you read it in English or Spanish?
Both. Yo no estoy. Yo estoy. I thought that I could understand from my high school and college Spanish. I thought that was good.
Español por dos años cuando fui al colegio.
Very good. We can use
it. Our opinions are going to come out in English and Spanish.
Someone said mine were hard to decipher now.
Well, that's good. Thank you. And on behalf of the court, I want to thank you for the wonderful job you've been doing as our interpreter program manager. Thank you.
Thank you. It's a lot of fun, actually.
Good. The Honorable John Murphy, good having you back with us.
Thank you, Chief Justice. Good to be here. Good to see all of you. Forms Committee's role in the translation of the court forms is really twofold. First of all, we have more or less agreed that we will identify which forms should probably be translated, at least the initial undertaking. And we've already done that with certain forms, and Carmel's now in the process of doing that or having those forms translated. Secondly, we would make the forms then RMC forms, which means that they will be mandatory forms, and that provides the statewide uniformity I think that one would like to have, especially with these translated forms, since I don't know, other than Justice Wilcox's fine skill with Spanish, most of us trying to read either Spanish and or Hmong or Albanian or whatever else it might be, would be hard-pressed to know what the form says. I mean, we all have sat in court and heard people doing translations and really wondered if indeed they were translating what has been said. I speak enough Spanish sometimes that I do speak some Spanish, and I have listened to Spanish interpreters translating what witnesses have been supposedly saying and wondered to myself if they're listening to the same witness. And that's unfortunate. But at least at the stage when we're talking about like the plea questionnaire, we would hope as much as possible that people would not be handicapped by their lack of English skills in understanding those essential rights that they are giving up when they enter a plea in a criminal case. So if we do nothing else, I would say that would be very worthwhile. So the RMC role then will be oversight. We will decide what forms should be translated. We will review the end product, at least as far as format. We're not probably going to be in a position to decide if it is or is not a good translation. That's for somebody else to do, but at least we'll know that it's coming to us from a source, specifically from Carmel's working group to us, that we should be able to trust in the efficacy of the work. So,
thank you, Judge Murphy, and no questions. And I want to thank you for your work on the Records Committee as well as Judge Carlson's. It's a hardworking and difficult assignment.
Thank you.
We really are pleased.
Next week will be my last meeting. Judge Kiefer will be taking over as the head of the committee, and I'm going to move on to some other things, but have enjoyed the work and certainly enjoyed the great support of this court.
Thank you.
Judge Murphy.
Justice Prosser.
Will all these forms, all these translated forms, be able to be downloaded?
Ultimately, they would be the same, the same availability as the other forms. Yes, they would be done. Could download them off the website, the Forms Committee website. On the state court site.
I don't think they're interactive yet, but I may be wrong. Are they interactive? That is, can you fill them out on the website?
I don't know
if you can do that, but you can download them.
Well, Gary's on CCAP.
It's all up to you, Gary.
On the Supreme Court website, if you have Microsoft Word, you can download them in Word format, but they are interactive.
Okay. Okay, and then send them back that way?
Print them out.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Judge, do you have any sense where Wisconsin is on this sort of work in relation to other states? Are we ahead or behind or in the same?
I don't know, Carmel, you've looked into that more than I have. Maybe you could respond to Justice Prosser.
We sought the assistance of other states in doing our translation project. We're probably in the low middle. States like, you know, California and Utah and Minnesota and New Jersey were the ones that were sort of pioneers in the translation project. And those were the states that we looked to when we created our process. So we're in there, but we need some catching up to do.
I have one question on the mandatory forms. It goes to the diverse languages. We know up in Barron County, for example, as Somali, there was a newspaper article on that. I assume that a person could, in a voluntary sense, take your form, create the language, and does that, when you say mandatory, because you're only dealing with one major language now, but someone could take the form, obviously, and duplicate it in another language?
It's already happened, Justice Wilcox. Some of the counties, including my county, Sheboygan, has taken the standard plea questionnaire, had it translated by local Spanish-speaking people into a Spanish plea questionnaire. Yeah. Our goal would be that insofar as there's forms generated from Carmel's committee through forms, those will be mandatory, and we're not going to generate forms in unique languages that might only be occasionally used. So if there isn't a mandatory form in Albanian, then a county would be free to make its own form. Right.
This may be a question for the next rules petition that we're going to be addressing, but I know there's been some concern raised about that petition, in terms of once on pro se forms, once it is a record management committee form, that around the state that is the form to be used. It occurs to me, what if some local committee in Marathon County has a form but in the Hmong language or some other language? Let me just answer that a minute. If there are no other questions on that, we can just move into that form, okay? If there are no other questions on that, on 0504, are there? Okay. I'm going to then move, if you can, Judge Murphy, into, I think that Justice...